Welcome to another episode of Million Dollar Stories, where we get to interview authors from all over the world. The goal here is to learn something to apply to our life or our business. And I think this is going to be relevant for you wherever you're at. And so the book that we're talking about today is called Economics for the Rest of Us, Debunking the Science That Makes Life Dismal. Is that a clear and concise subtitle or what? So we have the author today, Moshe Adler. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I did start off with a question about Vilfredo Pareto. We're going to get to him in a bit. So if you guys know about the Pareto principle, he references this individual early on in the book, and I'm really excited about that. However, let's start with the genesis of this book. What made you want to write this? And maybe if you can give a quick little background on who you are and where you come from.
All right. So I'm an economist. And the genesis of this book is really with a dissatisfaction from what I found in the textbooks. And the main thing that I found in the textbooks that I objected to are two. The first of all is the suggestion that there is something, a concept of economic efficiency that is objective, that economists like to talk about economics as a science and to compare it actually to physics. So Newton says that an apple falls from a tree. Well, the fact of the matter is that an apple falls from a tree, whether Newton had said so or not. He formed a law that described the apple falling from the tree, and whether we know the law or we don't know the law, we know that apples fall from trees. Economics is not a science in the same way. I mean, when we talk about economic efficiency, it cannot be an objective concept, economic efficiency, because we first of all need to define what is efficiency, and this is necessarily subjective. So when I investigated that, I discovered that there are several concepts of what is economically efficient. And the second stuff that bothered me when I studied economics is about how economists explain wages, how wages are determined. And economists say that wages are determined according to the value of what workers produce. I'm jumping a little bit ahead in time. During the pandemic, we had a group of workers that when all of us, at least in the big cities, at least where I live, in New York City, I was not permitted to leave my apartment. Only people who carried a card in their pocket that said, essential workers were permitted on the street. Now, essential workers are people who stock the shelves in the supermarket. Those are essential workers, and they go to work. And some of them got sick, and they brought the sickness home, and either they died or family members died. They pay continued to be low. There were no death compensation for family members. The risk was not paid for. There was a recognition that these are essential workers, but you would never know it from the wages that they were earning. So my book is about these two things. It's about how truly wages are determined and about what is economic efficiency.
Got it. I think 2020 was an amazing time to be alive, to see how people responded, what happened. And some people were realizing that maybe they needed to make some changes in their life. And I've talked to many people, and it seems like there was a silver lining to that event where people did make a lot of much needed change in their life. So fascinating. But I just want to give a quick little summary on your book here, and I'm going to read something from the back of your book. His main target is the critical building block of modern economics, Pareto efficiency, the theory that no one can be made better off with someone else being made worse off. Pareto efficiency balks at equitable resource allocation, especially from rich to poor. Adler argues that the model, carried to its extreme, proves that poor people should not be allowed to breathe clean air and that rich people pay far too many taxes, leading into a fascinating discussion of wage disparity. The claim that a person earns an amount determined by the value that she produces is fundamentally flawed, he maintains, and the evidence shows that wages are determined by the powers a worker possess or does not possess at the bargaining table. And so last piece here, Adler's frustration with wrongheaded economic theory or thinking is as entertaining as it is thought provoking. All right. Can you just give a quick little summary on what Pareto, right? Vilfredo Pareto believes.
Okay, so the definition. All right, so I think that the best way to describe what Pareto efficiency means is the following: suppose that there are four people that are playing a poker game, and one person cleans everybody out. And one of those people lost everything really, and will from now on live on the street and be homeless, etc. Is that efficient? Is that efficient to have here at the end of the game a situation that one person is extremely wealthy and another person is extremely poor because of the lack of the draw? And is that efficient? So Pareto says that this is, well, Pareto says that according to him, this is efficient, or rather what we should call this is Pareto efficient. And the reason for that is that the only way to help the loser in this case, the guy that became homeless, the only way to help him is to take from somebody else, to take from the winner, for instance, to take from somebody else. In other words, you cannot change anything in society that will make this loser better off without hurting somebody. And the somebody there is the person who lucked out and cleaned everybody out. So this is Pareto efficient. And then there is another definition of efficiency that is called utilitarian efficiency that says that this allocation of resources is actually not efficient. It is Pareto efficient, but it's not utilitarian efficient. And that is because if you took a little bit of money from the winner and passed it to the loser, the winner will lose. The winner will lose some dollars, and these dollars will go to the loser. But in terms of utility, the rich will lose only very little utility because he has so much money. And the help to the poor will be tremendous because he has no money, and otherwise he would live on the street. So it is utilitarian efficient to take money from the rich, a little bit of money from the rich, and pass it to the poor, because together the total utility in society will increase. So here we have a case that illustrates both definitions of efficiency with the same thing. I mean, so Pareto says, I will add something to it in a second. Pareto says this is efficient, and a utilitarian says this is not efficient. I want to add something to Pareto. Pareto never said, do not take from the rich and give to the loser. Do not take from the winner and don't give to the loser. He didn't say that. Right. What he said is that this is, according to me, this is efficient. Now, if you want to take from the rich and give to the poor, you may do that. Okay, I'm not saying don't do that. But this, according to my definition, this is efficient, but this is a political issue. And if you want to do it, I mean, go ahead and do it. He never say don't do it. But economists do say don't do it. I mean, so the followers that came after him they are more Catholic than the Pope. I mean, they are taking it one step further and say, don't do it. I mean, because it's sufficient. Whatever is Pareto efficient should be left alone. And utilitarian says things that are Pareto efficient may be fantastically utilitarian inefficient.
Got it. Okay, so my question to you is, I have a question here as an economist. Why would anybody try very hard, become very smart, put their life on the line to create a business if they're already taken care of without any type of consequence of them not doing anything? That's okay. My question. So to kind of summarize it in two ways, if a school is automatically going to give me a C and pass me, I'm not going to do anything. Personally, that's how I would approach it. I don't care about school. I don't care about the job. I'm going to get a C. Good deal. You're going to actually penalize the person who got the A and give us all Cs. Well, I'm not going to be the one penalized. I want to be the one rewarded. Take that one step further into your game of poker. There's four players. One's a really good poker player. The three are really, really bad. Why would the three who are bad try to get any better if I'm already going to win, even if I don't have to try anything? So that's my question to you.
Well, Mike, we know each other for so many years.
Yeah,
that I know that about you. Okay, that I know that about you for sure. Okay, that regardless of whether there were a grading system or they weren't, you would read books and you will think.
Oh, and I don't know, Moshe. I don't know. It's all about incentives and rewards. We're just animals.
I think that people do things for a little bit for rewards, but maybe mainly. It's not rewards, but this, we are talking here extremes. I mean, we are talking about, but you're suggesting here is an extreme system of everybody is getting the same earnings, and that is not what we are talking about. So let me take a little bit of a diversion, and let's talk about make America great again. So
what a great slogan, am I right? Who doesn't believe in that phrase? Am I right?
I believe it. I think it's a great
slogan. Your microphone just went silent. You might have to tap the microphone real quick.
Can you hear me now?
Very nice. Yes, sir.
I'm not sure what happened. I'm sorry. So let's talk about Make America Great Again, and they ask the question, the simplest question was, when was America great? Because we say great again. So I'm going to answer that for you, since you asked.
Okay.
So 1955, can we agree on 1955?
I'm with you. Right after the war, it was absolutely great. The American dream was alive and well. I'm with you. Let's say that.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you another question too. So in 1955, all truck drivers who had children employed a nanny. And this nanny, all these nannies have the same name. Do you know what was their name?
No.
Starts with an M. All of them hired a nanny with the same name. Her name started with an M.
Maria.
Close. Try again.
M-O. Mo. Oh, Moshe?
Mommy.
Okay, right. Mommy. Yeah, okay. I'm with you.
In 1955, all truck drivers in America made a very nice life for themselves. One person working, the other person stays home, takes care of the kids.
I like that setup.
Two-car garage. The schools that the kids go to are excellent schools. All right, you answer all these questions correctly. So I'm going to ask you another question. In 1955, who was president of the United States?
55 was it not Grover, starts with a G, I think, doesn't it?
Dwight Eisenhower.
Eisenhower. Dwight.
Okay.
Okay.
Dwight Eisenhower. And he was, before he was president of the United States, he was the commander of all Allied forces, supreme commander of Allied forces in Europe. A difficult question. I don't expect you to know. How many stars did he have on his shoulder?
Was he a 4 or 5-star general? 4.
It was five. And today we don't have even one, right? Today we don't have even one. It's 4, but he had 5. And one more question is, what party did he belong to?
He was Republican.
He was Republican. And what was the highest tax rate then?
92%.
Okay, 90. Well, this is true when he took office, but then he lowered it because he believed in low taxes, so he reduced it from 92% to 91%. And then he won in a landslide, and he won it with the support of the rich. And what did he use the taxes for, the 91% tax? Well, he built all the highways, right? He gave us the interstate highway. But he was smart because he called it, I mean, he was a general with 5 stars, so he didn't say, oh, I'm going to give you roads. He said, well, I'm going to give you national defense. So he called it national defense interstate system.
Yes.
And yes. And then he opened all the public universities that were really public because the tuition was free in all of them, or close to free in all of them.
Route 66 was born because of him in this approach. Yes, I'm with you on this. Now, I don't want to say correct because you're a very wise man, but 92% was what they said. But if you look into the stats, the average person paid right around 12% in tax.
The average person didn't have that kind of money.
Right. So
it is not, you didn't pay this. This was not the average tax rate. Even today, with a very low tax rate of 37% at the top, the average tax is always lower, significantly lower than the marginal tax. That's a law of nature because, you know, on the income that rich and poor make together, the same income up to that level, the rich pay exactly the same tax rate as the poor. They don't pay a higher tax rate. So on the first, for instance, today, right, if you are doing your taxes today in 2024, you are doing it for 2023, okay? Mm-hmm. So the first part tax bracket is $11,000. And on $11,000, everybody pays 10%, okay? On the next 20,000, everybody pays 12%. But let's talk about the first level, 11,000, the first bracket, okay? Everybody pays on this 11,000 only 10%, only 1,100. That includes the rich.
Yeah.
So the person who pays 37% today, not 91%, 37%. They only pay that on their highest bracket. So the average tax is lower. The average tax is not 37%. The average tax may be 20% or 15%, okay? So this is always true, and this is the trick that they use on you, that the average, of course, the average is always lower than the marginal. But the marginal was 91%, and it applies for people who are making today's money more than $400,000. And we have the money to show for it because we built all these universities. We built them all. And we built all these highways. And workers hired the same nanny whose name was, I'm reminding you, Mommy. They're making good pay. Why are they getting more good pay? Because who builds these roads? Workers. Okay. And who builds the schools? Workers. And who becomes the teachers in the universities? Workers. And when the schools become better, where there is more gym and more art and more this and more that, the school lunches are not prepackaged, but they are cooked in school. Who does that? Workers. So life was good. And you and I, we want exactly, and all your listeners, we all want to make America great again. We are ready for it. Give us 91% tax ever on the rich only, and let's build this country, because this country needs so much. I mean, you know, the bridge that just collapsed did not have fenders.
Okay. My question to you is, why would the rich want to be rich if they're going to be penalized to that degree? Now, here's the one thing. I've read a little of the IRS code, all right? It'll say tax you at this rate, but if you have a business and you do X and Y and Z, you will only have to pay this. Now, the has nothing to do with the tax rate, I've realized. It has to do with what's written in the 9,000-page book called the IRS code, all right? So the rich run the politicians. The politicians create the code. The code, right, is going to reward who? The rich. So who gets penalized? Those who do not understand financial literacy. The way to fix this.
Look. I mean, you are even more right than you know. I mean, you are truly you are more right than you know. Okay, so yesterday, I teach. I'm a teacher of construction workers. People build their home, their offices, the mega. I live in New York City. The people who live this, build this huge, high rises.
Donald Trump did, right? They say Donald Trump built those.
Donald Trump did not build anything. My students built it. My students built it. You mean he owns it? That's what you mean. You don't mean he built it. You see the language? I mean, I have to start with you from the beginning. He didn't build anything in his life.
I'm kind of joking with you.
My students built it. And they are making, I mean, they are apprentices, and they make like $18 an hour. In any event, they come to me straight from work. You know, they come to me straight from work. And yesterday in class, we did taxes. How we actually calculated if you make this much. How do you calculate it, et cetera, et cetera? Well, they didn't know about brackets. I mean, they didn't know about brackets. They didn't know that you cannot make a rich person poorer than a poor person by taxing them high, because the extra tax is only on what the rich make above what the poor makes. Okay, all right. So you ask me you ask me two different questions, and I'm answering both. First of all, why will the rich do it? Okay, I'm telling you, they do it. I mean, they did it in Eisenhower's time, and they re-elected him in a landslide, because after you have already a million dollars, you really do not need the money. Money keeps the score, okay? And money does keep the score. It does. If you have more money, you're smarter. That's okay. But if all you can have is 9 cents out of the dollar, and I have only 9 cents out of the dollar, the place field is fair. The playing field is fair. All the rich pay a lot, and I am smarter than you. How can I prove it? I have more money than you. The only issue is that I have more money with you. It is true that some of the money went to taxes. Your money also went to taxes. And as a result, we have healthy, happy workers and a healthy society, and we don't have the amazing divisions that we have these days in society, which are truly scary.
So I'll jump in there real quick. So what you did say kind of makes sense with my agreement that, all right, we need builders. We need individuals out there creating jobs. So do you believe that the rich that think that it's better for them to give their money to the government to create the jobs? Or do you believe the rich think they have the ability to create the jobs? And before you answer, Donald Trump, you said you agree with me. I can't believe you did, by the way. He did help fund the projects to create the jobs. And in my opinion, I have this phrase, think like an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur creates the jobs, not the government.
Well, I mean, I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, we have a fantastically productive society because we have inventors, entrepreneurs, and all of these people are fantastically important, and the workers are also important.
Of course.
And the well-being of the workers is also important, and having roads is important, and having a good life for workers is also important. All of these things are important at the same time. So what we are asking for, I'm not asking for a balance. I'm asking actually for efficiency. That is, what is the project? The project is to create a society in which everybody, or almost everybody, or the vast majority, has a good life. We recognize the need for innovation and for invention. We recognize also the need of workers to have good lives, etc. So the object for us is to create a system that gives us what we want. Now, no entrepreneur could produce anything, right? Anything at all during would not be alive if there was not somebody stocking the shelves in the supermarket. This was true during the pandemic, but the only thing that the pandemic did, it showed us this nakedly, but this is true today too. If the shelves are not stocked, the rich die. We all die. If there is nobody that delivers your food, that grows your food, that bends over to pick up the asparagus that you like so much, I mean, if there is nobody doing that, you are dead. Okay, so we just need to recognize that, and we need to change a little bit. We need to change how things are valued and how things are compensated for. All right, and that is not hard to do. And the reason that it is not hard is because we were there. Let's make America great again. It was great. Let's make it great.
So
let's learn from the time than when it was great.
I'm with you. So here's my question. Why are the schools not saying, hey, we want you to be wealthy and free, rather than worry about the taxes being taken out of the rich and given to you? Why don't you get the skill set required to become rich? Think like Donald Trump. Borrow money to create more money, right? And then when you buy the property and you do it in a certain way, you get this tax depreciation, which allows you to keep more money to do what? Invest more, to build more.
Look, the rich are special. The rich are wonderful people. You cannot teach anybody in the world, including you, Mike. I cannot teach you how to be Donald Trump. Donald Trump is truly unique. I mean, Donald Trump is a person. He's amazing. He has a company that lost $41 million a year, 2 years in a row, and then somebody woke up and gave him $3 billion. That happened just last week. I mean,
you call that special. I call that brilliant.
This is what I'm saying. I cannot teach you how to be this, Mike. But the question is, okay.
Yes, you can, by the way. I will tell you where I come from. I did not understand how the wealthy made money. And now, 7 years later, I understand it.
If you knew how to be Donald Trump, Mike, you wouldn't be sitting here talking to me.
You don't need to be a billionaire. I'm talking about millionaire, financially free. These are the people who are saying, but when you say 400,000, what if I told you that 400,000 is not a lot of money? Would you agree with me, or you just say that's a lot of money?
It's a lot of money for me. It is will be much more than I am making.
I just met a guy yesterday. He sold one real estate property, made $400,000 in one day. To him, it's not a lot of money. What if money is subjective? What if I told you that?
Of course, money is subjective. But all I'm saying is that this guy, bless him. I mean, he's a good guy. I mean, I have no problem with this guy. no problem. And I want to tell you that he will not have a problem with me either. I mean, we need to do in society the following, okay? The first thing I say, before we talk about taxes, before we talk about that, the minimum wage in this country is $7.25. A person who works three full-time jobs will be entitled to welfare, will not be able to feed their family. No jobs in society should pay so low that a person, after working a full day, cannot sit at the table with the kids and say, I earned it.
How do you think that happened? How do you think that happened?
It didn't happen because of inflation. It existed before inflation. It existed. Well, the point of the matter is that if we agree that it shouldn't happen, well, the solution, we don't have to argue here, the solution is to raise the minimum wage. The minimum wage has to be tripled to $21 an hour, and that will be a little bit more decent. It will not make anybody rich. But people that are making $7 an hour are the people who keep the billionaires literally alive. Without them, you don't have anything to eat. Your car does not have gasoline in it. Your jet doesn't have gasoline in it. Nothing moves in this society without the people who make $7.25 an hour. So this is a shame. And why do I need to argue about that with you? Because you know that this is a shame. So let's start by raising the minimum wage to 21.
Terrible idea, sir. Let me just.
Every one of your listeners who wants to start a business will benefit from it.
It would crush startup entrepreneurs.
The purchasing power, the people who buy because they don't have any money to save, they must buy, are the poor. They spend 100% of their money. Give them more money, they will spend more, and your small business will have more customers instead of everybody being so money-pinching, penny-pinching, that they all go to Amazon. You will have a chance in your own store because people will be able to breathe. They will not work 24 hours a day. People who work 24 hours a day, they cannot go shopping on the street. They cannot do window shopping and they cannot do shopping. They cannot do window shopping because you have time, and they cannot do shopping because they don't have the money. But you will open your brewery and you will have customers because workers will have shorter hours and they will come to your brewery, etc. I mean, do you know what percentage of beer in the United States is produced by private labels? Do you know what percentage?
No, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you 13%. Okay, if you raise the minimum wage, what happens is that it could be 30%, 50%, or 60%, because people will have time to go out and they will have money to buy your beer. And more Americans, instead of being working for somebody else, they will be able to be entrepreneurs themselves. They will be able to be self-employed. So we are on the same side. We want the same thing. We are both on the side of the small businessman.
Yes, that would crush me. Okay. If I had
I want to tell you. I'm going to tell you how old I am. Okay? When I was your age, Mike, all the shoes in the United States were produced well. Do you know?
All the what was? What?
Shoes.
I would say shoes were China.
They were produced in Maine. When I was your age, there were 400 shoe factories in Maine.
Wow.
And all 400 factories were basically replaced by Nike and Adidas and maybe Skechers too. Okay.
Yeah. Why though? Do you know why? I know why.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you
labor.
Why.
Labor costs.
Labor costs. That's the point. So what happens is that we have to raise the wages. So everybody now goes to buy everything on Amazon and cheap, and not going to the shoe store because they don't have the money to do it. And everybody goes cheap. And this is why all manufacturers go to China, because everybody has no money to spend. And when you have no money to spend, you pinch and pinch and pinch and pinch and pinch and pinch. It gives advantage to the people who produce cheap products in China. Okay, we need good wages. By the way, it will not hurt us, since you're talking about it and it's your idea, I'm going to adopt it. It will not hurt us to fight for high wages in China also, because if there were high wages in China, there could be also high wages in this country. The poor are in the same boat. The poor are not Chinese or American. The poor are just poor. And so we have to fight for that together. But first thing, let's minimum wage $21.
Okay, real quick, I'm gonna jump in there. If you did that, I open a restaurant. I'm paying people $7 an hour, right?
$21 an hour.
All right. So as of right now, but let's just say I'm paying everybody, everybody's happy. And then they say, you know what? You have to pay. So everybody's happy to a certain extent. Even the employees that came to work for me on their own accord are happy to some degree, but they're always asking. We all want more money. Okay. And then the law comes in and says, you now have to pay this person $21 an hour. Well, that's three times the cost. Do you know that I would have to raise my prices by at least three?
You will not have to raise it, because labor costs of a restaurant are about 20%. So you will have to raise it three times 0.2. You will have to raise the prices 60%. But your clients, the people, the customers who come to your store will be three times wealthier. And don't forget, and that's the most important thing in the world. Therefore, they will not work two jobs. They will work one job. And when they work one job, two things happen. First of all, they have more time to go out and eat. And secondly, they have money to spend. They have money to spend.
No, they won't. Because everything in their life now costs three to four times more money, which ultimately leads to them being worse off. You know who wins in this situation? Are you ready? The rich. Why? They will buy machinery. They will outsource. They're going to go to different companies to invest their money. No. Rich will always win in these situations.
This business of they will go to machinery, et cetera, this is true as Adam and Eve. Okay. Technology changes. People replace workers with machines. This has always been true. And the standard of living has increased or decreased independently of that. It really depends on the minimum wage and other laws that help workers. A worker can never compete against the machine and win. Never. The machine is so much cheaper. The point is not to replace machines by workers. The point is not to decrease efficiency. The point is not to make workers so cheap that nobody will have a washing machine at home, but they will hire somebody who will do the laundry. Why will they hire? Because this person that does the laundry makes only 10 cents an hour. Why do they need a washing machine? I mean, this is silly. This is not what we want. We want to free people of jobs that machines can do. There are so many things that we need. I can suggest to you right now that we will agree on 10 million jobs right now that needs doing. You want me to start? Where do you live, Mike? Okay, I'll tell you about me. You don't have to. I'll tell you about me. Okay, I live in New York City. Okay.
And you got to get out of New York City. This is what's causing the problem. New York City, insane amounts of problems happening there. We got to get you to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I can train you and get you out of this thought process of waiting for taxes. But anyway, sorry to digress there. I'll get you there. Go back to
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at rush hour at 6 o'clock in the evening is a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. Is it?
It's 6 o'clock at night. Not that bad. It's not as bad as New York City.
Well, I don't know about that, because in New York City, we don't go in car, we go in subways. But in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania would actually benefit from public transportation.
Yeah, well, that's
tremendously, because you are really at 6 o'clock in the evening, you're suffocating there. Interesting. Isn't it true?
You're a fun guy. For being, I would classify you as, am I right to say, are you on the Marxist level? Are you almost at a Marxist level? Because it sounds like it, but I still like you. You got personality.
I don't know what this mean of Marxist level. I'm just trying to level with you. I mean,
you're not a capitalist, level. Though, are you? Are you a capitalist?
Am I a capitalist? I don't know. I don't know what I am. I all I want is $21 minimum wage, and I want good schools for the kids, and I want high quality of life for working people because they are the essential workers. We are. I am too. One of them. We are the essential workers, and it cannot be that the people who have a document in their pocket that says that the world will die without them, the world will die without you. So when everybody is not permitted on the street, you must go to work because the world will die without you. And you make $10 an hour, depends on where you live, $7.25 an hour, $10 an hour. I mean, how can it be that the person who keeps the world going, that keeps the rich alive, the rich refuse to pay? I mean, that is not true.
Real quick, before we have to run out of time, do you know which state has the highest minimum wage?
Which state?
Yep.
You said?
Yeah.
I think that it is California.
Yes. But great answer. Now, second question. Do you know which state has the highest level of unemployment?
No, you're
terrible. It's not a secret answer. It's California. 5.3% just came out yesterday or 2 days ago. So there's a correlation between minimum wage increase and unemployment.
This correlation that you just said, I mean, this is just an anecdote. I mean, you know that this is not serious and you're cutting me now on time. I mean, but the fact of the matter is that when people make money, they spend money and life is good. I'm telling you something. You want to understand something, but minimum wage, okay, minimum wage. I'm going to tell you about minimum wage, okay? A person who drives a truck today, okay? A person who drives a truck today, okay, drives the truck together with his wife. You know that? Yeah. They drive it together, okay? When America was great again, she stayed home. She took care of the kids. Now, I have a little bit of a problem with gender here, and people will be unhappy with me because I'm advocating a time where women stayed at home and took care of the kids. But that was the fact then. So I don't know how it will apply to a more equal society, gender-wise. But the fact of the matter is that people now are working twice as hard as they worked then when America was great again. And the difference was two things, okay? The trucking industry was regulated, was severely regulated, okay? The second thing that happened there is the taxes were 91%, okay? Taxes on the rich, on the highest. And America invested in itself and was not bashful about it. I have to say that the only thing that is a little bit upsetting is that it always had to have the veneer of national defense. We couldn't say that we are building good roads for us. No, no, no. We are building roads because of the Ruskies, because we have a war, so national defense. We couldn't say we are building universities for our kids. No, no, no. We are building universities because we have to compete with the Russians. Okay, so that's the only thing that was wrong with those ways of thinking. It's nothing wrong with in making our own lives beautiful and great. And you cannot have a good life of $7.25 nowhere in the country, okay? Nowhere in the country. So how can it be good for the country? How can it be good? What are you talking about when you take the country, when you say it's better to have a low wage? What do you mean by that?
I got a question for you. How many kids wake up in the middle of the night and they have this dream that just popped into their mind and they say, I cannot wait to get out of school and make the minimum? How many people say that? Not many, if any. Why are we shooting for a minimum? Minimum wage jobs are usually temporary, right? These are
this
low
is not
level
true.
positions.
I mean, this is absolutely not true. I mean, this is not true. This is always a myth.
No, I worked at a gas station. I worked there and I was a great worker, and I went from $6.50 to $6.75 to $7. But it was never to stay there longer than I had to. I was going to move on.
People stay there all their lives.
Well,
it's
that's
not about you only. You're not the only person around, Mike. But I want to tell you that people who stay behind and do these jobs, and these jobs, Mike, are just as important as any other job, because if these jobs are not done, we all die. We all die. And the fact of the matter is that the job that people will die if you don't do it cannot pay a pay that you cannot feed your parents. I mean, this country is filled with workers who are on welfare. They're working well full time, and they have to feed their families on welfare. This is so shameful. Not to them, it is shameful to me. Who am I that I live in a society that permits people to work full time and not be able to feed their kids?
So wait. What happens to the people who are making, I know guys who make $22 an hour, working their asses off for really tough positions. What happens to them when they say, you mean to tell me that I could go work at Burger King and not have to work that hard and make 21?
Well,
I'm not doing this.
Think, Mike.
What's going to happen? What will happen?
So, the person who is working now for $22 an hour says to the boss, unless you pay me $35 an hour, I'm going to work at McDonald's.
Exactly.
And so all wages rise. All wages rise. And what falls, Mike? Okay, I'm going to tell you. What falls is profits. Profits decrease a little bit. Big deal.
Nope.
Let's decrease profits. Let's use the money to give workers a good pay. We want people to have good pay and to have good lives. And we want everybody who feeds the family to tell the kids, I am feeding you. Not the U.S. government is feeding you.
I'm with you on that at least. That's great. We're agreeing on that at least. I like that. The government, if it gets bigger, it has more control. Stay away from the dependent mindset. That's what I'm saying. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Let's make sure that everybody has a good wage so that they don't have to depend on the government. This is absolutely, I mean, Mike, it is so easy to agree with you. I mean, it's just really, really wonderful.
Yeah. So my belief is, if you guys think like an entrepreneur out there, you can create your own wealth and you don't have to worry about what your boss pays you. You basically create the value and you're rewarded because of it. There's a great quote out there.
To be an entrepreneur, there will be many more entrepreneurs. There will be many more entrepreneurs if workers got higher wages, because people who have higher pay, who have good pay, have money to spend, and equally as important, have the time to spend it.
So here's my last question to you. Why only $21? Why not make it $1,000 an hour then? Why 21?
Look, of course, there's nothing sacred about 21. There's nothing sacred about 21. If we come to an agreement that it is okay, it's kosher to have a society in which workers make a nice living and have a high quality of life, and our benchmark is the time that America was great. If this we reach this, then okay, we will have some experts, we will have Congress, we will debate what is the ideal minimum wage that will give us everything that you want, Mike. That is, leave the entrepreneurs with enough incentives to create, and at the same time, leave workers with a good quality of life.
Okay.
What is the sum? I'm not sure, and neither are you. I mean, we don't know exactly what it is.
I just pulled up the minimum wage in 1955 when we both agreed that America is great. Do you know what it was?
I have no idea.
75 cents.
All right, but now I put it into inflation calculator. You have that. Look at
so inflation plays a factor, of course. Now
No. So look at inflation calculator and look at what is 55 cents, whatever the number you have said. What is it today?
$7.39.
is what the inflation calculator says.
Yep, it says the value of 75 cents minimum wage improved only slightly to 1955 to the equivalent of $7.39
okay.
today.
Okay.
So this, we are spot on.
No. Okay, now look at.
Did I just win this argument? I think I just won, Moshe.
Only because you want to simplify it. We didn't do everything yet. We didn't do all the stuff. Okay. So what you need to do is GDP per capita in 1955. Do GDP per capita in 1955, and compare GDP per capita. I mean, and raise it by inflation calculator to today.
That sounds like a lot of work. I'm just saying, we're on to something here. 739 is the exact same as it was in
well, that's shameful. Cents. And the reason that this is shameful is because, do you know, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what is GDP per capita in the United States right now? Give me a number.
Let me see. I'll per capita U.S. I'll do it right now. 70,000.
Okay, 70,000. So if you have a family of four, how much is it?
If a family of four,
it's to $180,000.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we live, Mike, in a country right now that every family, we have enough for every family of four to have $280,000. Every family of four, we have enough money for every family of four to have $280,000. So why do we have families where the parents work two jobs and are unable to feed the kids when together we have $70,000?
Because the cost of everything has skyrocketed. School loans are insane, right? Real estate property, right? Regulations.
America was great again.
Minimum wage.
When America was great again and the tax rate was 91%, the school was free. We didn't need a college. You didn't need a college loan. There were no college loans because the colleges were free.
Colleges have skyrocketed in price.
Okay.
1980.
Right.
And here's the last piece I'll say. We'll talk about it another time. I have to have you back because this is interesting. The thing that really destroyed the middle class and the poor is us being removed from the gold standard completely and having our politicians print at will. The moment you turn on that printing machine, like Milton Friedman said, there's no way to stop it. And now we have a world where they just print like crazy, only benefiting the rich, hurting the middle class and the poor, turning it into a two-class system. Big problems ahead because of it. But it has been an honor to talk with you. Is there a website or a social media channel that we could have our friends and listeners find you on? Because you are fun. Even though you don't agree with everything or most things that I say, you're fun. So where can they find you?
Yes, I do have a website, and it is Economics for the Rest of Us.
EconomicsForTheRestOfUs.com?
Can you give me a second? I have to find it. I'm sorry.
For the rest.
No, it is in my email to you. I mean, it's at the bottom, but I don't remember it.
Okay, so.
And I have a YouTube channel also, but the thing is that I don't, if I'm composing. Okay, so my website, my channel is Economics for the Rest of Us on YouTube. And my website is Moshe Adler. .wordpress.com.
Gotcha. I pulled it up. It works. Yes. Economics for the Rest of Us, debunking the science that makes life dismal. And just took a look at it. Yes, it's there. So perfect. And guys, check him out. He's a fun guy. Have him on your podcast. Read his book and tell him to move to Pittsburgh and have Mike Fallett train him on how to not make life dismal. Am I right? Come on, Moshe. You got to come. You got to come to Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. Pittsburgh is beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It's been fun to talk with you. Come back on. Give me one or two more sessions. I'm going to turn you into a free market capitalist who will say taxes. Oh, my God. Let's pay. Let's pay everybody pay less in taxes.
All right. recipe.
Guys, check him out. Read, look at his book, Economics for the Rest of Us. Moshe Adler, I appreciate your time. And remember, a $1 million book will lead to a $1 million life. Right on.